Ja, herzlich willkommen zum Datengarten 78 hier im Chaos Computer Club in der Marienstraße 11 in Berlin. Schön, dass ihr alle zu uns gefunden habt und auch herzlich willkommen im Stream. Heute haben wir Elektra Wagenrath zu Gast. Wer Elektra nicht kennt, sie ist, kann man schon so sagen, sie ist Pionierin der Freifunkbewegung, denn sie hat nicht nur das OLSR-Protokoll weiterentwickelt, ein essentieller Teil der Freifunk Technik, sage ich mal, sondern sie hat dann auch direkt nachgeschoben und das Backman-Protokoll designt. Und weil das nicht genug ist, ist sie nebenbei noch Philosophin. Heute allerdings wieder technisch unterwegs, denn sie stellt uns Freifunk Open MPPT vor. Dabei geht es um autonome Stromversorgung für Router. Und alles Weitere wird sie uns, glaube ich, selber erklären. Deswegen ein herzlicher Applaus für Elektra.
Danke sehr. Ist es okay, wenn ich die Präsentation auf Deutsch mache oder shall I switch to English? Was ist euch? You don't speak German? Okay. The slides are in English. Shall I switch to English? Is it okay for you? Is this also preferred with the audience? Online? Okay. So, yes, what is it about? This is a solar charge regulator that I have designed for small solar systems, namely for wireless routers that are energy autonomous. So you can operate them everywhere where you have sunlight, sun irradiation. And the design goal is to run a system 24 hours a day, 365 days a year with solar power without any interruptions. Okay? At any time, I'm really happy if you ask questions. Just as they raise your arm, have the handheld mic, and put out your question. So, the design goal was a cheap and hackable solar charger that can be used in combination with the 50-watt solar module. There are MPP trackers on the market, but for far larger applications, like powering a caravan, or larger systems, powering television sets, laptops, and so on. But this one is specifically designed for wireless routers. And it's designed to be cheap, and its design is open hardware and open software, so you can hack it. You can modify it, and you can hack it. And the PCB layout is designed in such a way that you can etch the PCBs on your own. It's a double-sided PCB layout, but you actually only have to etch one side, the top side, because the back side is just ground. Yes, and this is just a serving suggestion. The motivation in the first place, pardon me. The motivation in the first place was to have a system that is portable and can be used to help people in refugee camps, to give them infrastructure with mobile relay stations. And this is such a relay station. We call that Project Freifunkmast, portable wireless relay. And since I have been, since I have this idea to have a wireless, a solar controller that can talk to the wireless router to record the data of the system and being power efficient, in order to increase the energy yield that you get from the solar panel, and low cost, and customizable, I decided to make one out myself for the Freifunk community in particular. So, Some applications, as I've mentioned, refugee camps was our aim, resilient communication infrastructure, building networks in disaster and crisis situations. We have seen that being done by US American open community network people in the aftermath of Katrina. Informal settlements in developing countries. So there the device can not only power the router on the roof, it can also power the smartphone, the tablet, light, radio, small appliances. And community network nodes at elevated locations. For example, you live in a village in a remote area in Saxony or Thuringia, and you would like to establish a wireless link to the next village or to the city. And there is a little mountain or hill in between, so you have no free line of sight and it's not feasible to install a direct link. Then you can use that system that I'm presenting to you in order to have a high elevated point that you can see from both sides. So you can essentially bring network communication independently to most places on Earth. And of course, since it is a solar charger, you can also use it as a general purpose solar charger. If you're not intending to power a wireless module, but maybe you just have a shack in a garden and you want a little bit of electricity there, you can use it just for that. Or any application that you can come up with, like a remote radio transmitter that needs a few watts of power in order to operate. You name it. Well, this is a block diagram of the system. Very basic. You have just four components, the solar panel, the regulator, a battery, a fuse. Oh, five, correct me, and a router. That is the minimum. Don't forget to use a fuse if you build such a system, because batteries can produce very strong current. The voltage, 12 volt, is safe to touch, no problem here. But if you make a strong shortcut, your cables will glow and burn. So this could start a fire. So in any case, as a warning of caution, always use a fuse close to the positive terminal of the battery. For our Freifunk mast, I assembled all stuff that is required to produce the power, like everything you've seen in the block diagram, except the wireless router, in one module. It's just a solar panel and two pillars. So the panel doesn't stand on the ground. So for example, if you have snowfall, the snow can just glide down from the solar module and build a heap under the module and not build a heap in front of the module. This is essential. And you mount it very steep, so it cleans itself quickly. So leaves, dust, poo from birds, all this stuff just washes away, blows away rather quickly. If you assemble it this way, you probably have close to zero maintenance. The system should operate happily with one set of batteries for at least 5 years. Proper assembly assuming. Yeah, here are the special features of that design. It's an open hardware and software design, as I mentioned earlier. The source code is released and is licensed under GPL. You can use the AVR GCC compiling and development environment. So if you know how to write some simple C code, you can modify the firmware for the device on your own. I'm usually using a different computer-aided design program, but for this project, I deliberately have chosen an open source CID program that is available for all major operating systems. So you can extend and modify the design on your own. One of the two most important features is that it is a maximum PowerPoint tracking design. I'm going to explain that to you in one of the next slides. What it does in cold climate, it can increase the energy yield that you can harvest from the solar panel by about 30%. So if you take a 50-watt module without MPPT tracker, then you will get about 30% less in certain situations. So the wind load is reduced if you assemble it on a pole, and you need to spend less money on solar panels. The second great feature of the device is that it can communicate via a serial port on 3.3 volt transistor level with just any wireless router on the market that features a serial port, which are basically all the wireless routers that I'm aware of and all the wireless routers that we use for Freifunk. So by just adding three wires, ground, TX and RX, those devices can communicate with each other. And for example, the tracker communicates the data about the voltage of the solar panel, the charge status of the battery, and so on. And also, if the firmware is extended in that way, the wireless router can say, hey, it's 1 a.m. in the morning, I have nothing to do. I have nothing to do since 1 hour. And I probably won't have anything to do for the next 3 hours, so put me to sleep for 3 hours, and then wake me up again. So you can implement advanced power-saving strategies. I mentioned it before, it only uses easily available standard components. There is nothing that you cannot get easily on the world market, and the components will be available for at least 2 or 3 decades, I'm pretty sure. I also mentioned before, the board layout is easy to make yourself in a hackerspace. If you know how to edge, or if you have a CAD milling machine, you can make it on your own. It's microprocessor controlled with the popular AVR Atmega series. It uses one of the tiny Atmega devices. It has just 1 kilobyte of RAM and 8 kilobyte flash. And at the moment, I'm using about 300 byte. So you can add more features as you wish. The device also features a bootloader. The devices that I've prepared, they have a bootloader called KAVR, spoken caviar. And you can flash the device with a simple command. You just pipe the new firmware to the serial port within 8 seconds after powering the device. So you have to disconnect the solar power, you have to disconnect the battery, you connect it again, and within 8 seconds you start the transfer. And after that, it takes a few seconds, and the new firmware that we've just created is operating on the device. And there's no way you can destroy the device by flashing a wrong firmware. You can always repeat that process until you figure out how to do that. Well, until the flash storage wears out, which is about 1,000 to 10,000 cycles. Then you need a new microcontroller. So I've been talking about maximum PowerPoint tracking. So what is it exactly? Did anybody of you hear about maximum PowerPoint tracking before? No arms raised. Okay. I'm glad that I'm here. So typical systems, autonomous systems that are rated at relatively low power, like 5 to typically 100-150 watts, they use solar modules that are suitable for 12-volt lead acid batteries. And these modules, they have a maximum power point. That's the operating voltage and current where they produce maximum power. You can see that here on the right side in that picture. The first line reads, rated maximum power Pmax 50 watts. Two lines below, voltage at Pmax, maximum power, 18 volts, current at Pmax, 2.77 amperes. If you now multiply volts with ampere, you end up getting 50 watts. We have two values below, open circuit voltage, 22.32. That's the voltage of the panel if no current is drawn or no considerable current is drawn. It's like when you measure it with a voltmeter that has a high impedance. And the short circuit current, like if you short the terminals of the solar panel with an ampere meter, the short circuit current is 2.97 ampere. So the difference between the current at P max and the current at short circuit is just 0.2 ampere. But if you multiply approximately 0 volt with 2.97 ampere, you get 0 watts, rather than the 18 volts multiplied with 2.77 amperes, which is 50 watts. Could you follow so far? Okay? If you have questions, make it clear to yourself and to the others. Because I'm talking shit that I know, so I know it already. Okay, since no objections are coming in. Now, if we connect this solar module to a battery that has 12 volts on its terminals, that might be the open circuit voltage of the battery if it has been completely discharged. What happens then is the voltage in the solar panel drops down to the level of the battery. The battery might slowly creep to 12.1 volts, but the voltage in the panel will also be 12.1 volts if you don't introduce terrible cable losses, but let's leave that aside. The current does not increase considerably, so if you multiply 12 volts with 2.77 amperes, I have done that for you, that's 33.24 watts. So instead of harvesting 50 watts, you're getting about 16.7 watts less. They're getting lost in the solar module. So if you just buy a standard solar charge controller, in that operating situation, you will lose a lot of power. There are a few devices on the market, I checked it on Amazon, that say that they're maximum PowerPoint tracking, but actually they're not. So they're sold as with a feature claiming that they have it, that they actually don't have. They can just control the charge so that battery does not get destroyed because of overcharging. And devices that are actually working reasonably, they start at around 90 euros and are, of course, made for larger systems. Well, our little device, the components are about 20 euros. You can solder it your own. And it will improve the situation so much that you get 47.12 watts in that situation because it has an efficiency of 94.5%. What it actually does, it takes a DC-DC buck converter, that is like a transformer, that transforms the voltage at 18 volts to the level of the battery. The voltage therefore goes down, and the current, which makes our battery full, increases. All right? Too fast? Too slow? All fine. Okay, well, this was actually my first test of the very first prototype. I was running it without the software in the controller, just testing the analog circuit, which already does MPP tracking, but in the beginning it's not controlled by the microcontroller. In this test, on the left side, you see the current that is incoming from the solar panel into the controller. And on the right side, it's a little bit hard to read, 1.59 ampere are leaving to the battery. If you would operate it without the circuit in between, it would probably be just 1.11 ampere. So the surplus in your energy yield comes from the DC-DC buck converter. But beware, a standard DC-DC buck converter cannot do it because it would just suck as much current as possible and therefore reduce the voltage in the panel away from its MPPT point, and you will also lose the energy. Still no questions? Yeah, this is a we've shot this picture at the Battle Mesh. UFO did it while we were testing it, and the green cable, we used PoE to send the data to a Ubiquiti Nanostation wireless router. And UFO and Joe from Freifunk Leipzig, they already have made a very nice RRD tool to record the statistics. I have it also included in the slide. I will show it later. Ah, there it is. well, it's actually at 19:30 on last Saturday, this tool came to life first. The top diagram shows you the internals of the MPP tracker. It is monitoring the input voltage, the tracking point, the idle voltage of the panel if it's open circuit, and the output voltage. And the diagram below shows the status of the battery. I connected it to a discharge battery that was almost empty. And here you see, after 1950 something, the operation stops. That's because the low voltage disconnect that protects the battery from deep discharge kicks in and switches the router off. So later, in order to test, we connected the router to a power supply. So then the battery went up to 12.1 volt, which was its open circuit voltage, because the only current drawn from the battery was the current that the MPPT device actually draws, which is not a considerable load. Okay, this is how the circuit looks like. And I also use it to explain to you the block diagram. At the bottom, the lower part, is the DC-DC converter section. It's actually the workhorse of the design. Here, the energy is transformed. That's the cable where the energy from the solar panel comes in. There's a capacitor. It is getting charged from the solar module. And there is a transistor and a coil and a flyback diode and the output capacitor. This is actually a buck, DC-DC buck converter, and is controlled by this chip. It is an analog DC-DC buck converter, and the top section is where the controller is located. Here is the programming interface and the serial port, and here, optional, you can connect a temperature sensor in order to monitor the battery temperature, which is required in hot climates, because, for example, with a little modification, you can use the circuit to charge lithium ion or lithium iron phosphate batteries that don't like getting charged above 40 degrees. They would die quickly, and because those batteries are quite expensive, it would be quite an expensive waste of your money. Yeah, that's pretty much how the circuit looks like on top. On the backside, there's just ground. And there are some through-hole contacts to interconnect top and bottom that I just implemented by drilling a hole and putting a wire through it and soldering it on top and on bottom. So all you need in order to make such a PCB is the PCB material that should be photosensitive, and a mask, and a UV light to expose, and two chemicals, and then you can etch the boards yourself. Yeah, well, that's the nitty-gritty, that's the schematic. I'm not going to give a course in electronics right now. The presentation is online, so you can look at it. Also, all the design files are online. If you have any questions, if you're going to get into details, just buy me a beer and let me explain it to you. Yeah, I'm using GitHub. On GitHub, you find all the files. Here, everything is included. There's one directory explaining how you have to configure the fuses of the microcontroller. There's the sources for the bootloader, the sources for the schematic and the board design, the source code of the firmware, and the presentation here is also available. Yeah, we're in Berlin, so what do you get of all this? You can build for about $180 an independent wireless router that you can put everywhere, like on a mountain. And this is the calculation I have done for one of the standard wireless routers that we use at Freifunk. Not so standard anymore, because it has only 4 megabytes of flash and 32 megabytes of RAM. But there's an equivalent 842 that has 8 megabytes of flash and 64 megabytes of RAM that has basically the same specs with regards to power consumption, I figure. And yeah, these are the specs, how you have to assemble it. Of course, the panel has to be directed to south. You have to mount it at an angle of 60 or 65 degrees, so it's self-cleaning. And the angle is great for winter operation, because you have a surplus in energy in summer and in spring and in autumn, but the lack of energy in wintertime. And as the angle of attack from the sun is flat, you benefit if you mount it steep. It also helps, as I mentioned before, with self-cleaning. The battery is an 18 ampere hour battery that might be familiar to you, because this type of battery is used in uninterruptible power supplies. And the system is designed in such a way, even if for 4 days there is 0 watts coming in, I allow for 20% depth of discharge of battery. That means that only 80% of the energy is removed from the battery in that rare cases when this happens, and the system can then operate for 4 consecutive days. With that router, actually, it will be a little bit more. And the cost is 180 euros, give or take, to build such a system. I have estimated 20 bucks for assembly material. So, I think that's an okay price tag to have an independent autonomous device that doesn't cost anything except the wear of the batteries. If you're happy with the system after about 5 years, you have to replace the battery, but that's all the operating costs that you have once you have built it. And you can put it about everywhere you like, given that you have sunlight and no shade. Of course, if the device or the solar panel is shaded during the day for a certain amount of time, then this whole calculation doesn't work as intended. So that is to be avoided. And the system will have energy yield throughout the year of 56 watts in January, 56 watt hours every day in January, 99 in February, 47 in December, and all the other months are, yeah, not critical. You can actually use a more powerful wireless router with 2 interfaces if you apply power-saving mechanisms. Then it's possible to feed a system with 2 radios throughout the year also, but then you would have to sleep for some hours every night, which is probably acceptable. Otherwise, you have to increase the size of the system. Yes, that's already what I had to tell you, except answering your questions. Here are the links to the resources. We have 2 wiki pages where it's explained. Unfortunately, since we are a German community, the documentation is only available in German. But your favorite translation tool might come to the rescue. And the documentation on GitHub is English. And here, yeah, I've shown it before, are all the files, if you want to build it your own. And the background picture is a fancy 3D graphic that the KiCad open source program can produce. So, thank you very much.
Okay, are there any questions? If so, please raise your hand and wait until I get to you with a microphone so everyone who's attending remotely can hear what you have to say.
Hi. You mentioned there's also a software part of it. I think, or I didn't get it at all. Can you explain a little bit deeper what the software like provides to the system?
Oh, yes, of course. Right here, the MPPT tracker needs to know at which voltage it gets the maximum energy. And it also needs to gather the data about the system status, like charge of the battery. It has to make decisions like when to stop charging, when to stop discharging the battery. So there are a few lines of C code that are programmed into the microcontroller that do all that magic. Does this answer your question? Not exactly.
I think I remember that you told me something about like that the system is also like asking for, hey, is there any data that I should send around? If that's not the case, I go back to sleep and maybe come up later again. Wasn't there also such a part?
That's the decision of the router. So the router can. At the moment, I don't have that software on the router. We only have this tool that generates the graphs. But it's not so much to do, for example, to implement a little program that just checks, oh, my battery is going below 12.3 volts. That means it still has about 60% charge. But on average, I want to avoid going below 50% charge of the battery. So if I have two radios, I disable one radio. So one device that I've used for the Freifunk mast has a USB wireless radio that can be disabled in software, and that saves about 0.8 watts of power. So the device consumes less power. So the router can decide to implement a power saving mechanism, and it can also tell the firmware of the microcontroller, if it is programmed, the feature is not yet implemented, to put the router to sleep. And then the current consumption goes down to 12 milliamperes. So the battery would last forever. But of course, then the system is not operating. It's just sleeping. More questions, please.
Hey. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Thanks.
Wondered, though, since we don't have that much sun in Berlin generally, except for in summer, but we do have a lot of wind. Have you considered using other power sources like wind or something else?
I did. There are a number of remarks that I would say in reply to your question. A windmill is great if you have wind. The wind speed in Berlin, on average, 6 meters above the highest point around in the environment, in a radius of 100 meters, is about 3.6 or 3.7 meter per second, which is not an awful lot of wind. And you can only use that if you're at the very high point where you have no obstructions that will cause, I don't know the English word, like drag, because the wind will start spinning. And a windmill is a mechanical component. A solar panel, it's just a bunch of crystals sealed in a pretty safe way, usually, if it's a decent quality panel. And the windmill will need maintenance. So over time, the bearings will wear out. It's a good combination, though, if you can afford it and if it's acceptable that you have to, that you're going to make some maintenance in order to keep the system alive. But basically, solar power is preferred, since wind power is not so reliable. It's a good addition though, but unfortunately in the times of the year where the sun energy is very low, we usually also have very low wind speeds. Like in January, we don't have too much wind and we also have a lack of sun. But with a 50 watt panel, that configuration works throughout the year. Given that not for more than 4 days, the solar panel is completely covered in snow. Because if some blizzard puts ice and snow on the panel and freezes it so well that it doesn't fall off, then of course the system would go down. It would just happily and safely disconnect at 11.7 volt in that configuration. You can change it in software and then come alive again as the solar module becomes free again.
Do you happen to have any alarming mechanism in case the system shows unusual behavior, just like in the case where you actually have ice covering the surface? Like something that is not to be expected in daily operation?
Well, all the data is available to the wireless router. The intelligence is not implemented in the microcontroller, but the router has the time of the day, has the date, and for example, it's possible to write a program that checks, oh, it's noon in January, and I have less voltage on the solar panel than in the battery, then clearly something is wrong with my panel. So actually, and then you could issue an alarm, because all the data is reported to the router anyway. For example, I would suggest to use a tool like Alfred to broadcast the status information of the router and the voltages over the mesh network. And you could even have a monitoring tool. If in your network you depend on many of these, you could see, oh, there's a red flag, this one is running out of power, or a black flag, this one is dead. Of course, you can implement it, but I didn't. So I hope that people are picking up the idea and develop additional software, which already happened because Freifunk Leipzig sat down for 4 hours and implemented that fancy graphics. So I'm very happy about.
Okay, are there any more questions?
Come on, you're sitting here idle. What's going on?
So I guess you were thorough. Elektra, thank you very much. Okay.
So.
And a round of applause, please.
Thank you.
And you can stick around. There's going to be beer at the bar and you might buy her one. And she will happily explain everything that you didn't dare to ask at this point. And see you next time.